Hi everyone, my name's Dave.
And I'm Jay.
And you're listening to SportStack Weekly Analysis by AlphaStack, where you can get your weekly discussion on everything SportStack.
This is a quick reminder to follow us on Twitter if you haven't already at AlphaStack Group. And don't forget to check out our weekly blog posts at www.alphastack.co.uk.
Right, enough of the admin, let's get on with the show. Hi everyone and welcome to another episode of the SportStack Weekly Analysis Podcast. As always, I'm Dave and Jay is with me. Jay, how's your week been?
Well, the weekend was pretty quiet, at least from a football and sort of trading perspective, because you know we only had the Villa Newcastle game to trade on over the weekend. I suppose in some more positive news for me, Neil Harris got the sack and we got Mick McCarthy coming in to manage Cardiff, and that should be a barrel of laughs.
Big Mick, where's he been for the last few years?
In Cyprus.
I was gonna say I had a feeling that he was off somewhere, and in my head I was thinking like Indonesia or somewhere, but
yeah, it's only a very slight change of scenery from the from Cyprus to sunny old Cardiff. So you know, I'm sure he's gonna love the change of scenery.
Yeah, I mean, he spent so long in Sunderland and Wolverhampton and places, he'll probably adapt pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's true.
If anything, being in Cyprus probably would have confused the hell out of him.
Yeah, true. Although I think he got sacked in Cyprus, and that's never a good sign. But then you know, guy knows the championship, so you know. Can't be much worse than Neil Harris was at the end of it. So, you know, fingers crossed.
No, I mean, I have to say I'm shockingly out of touch with championship football now. Sort of come away from where I've grown up, with Palace having been a mid-table championship team for so long.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've not exactly stayed faithful to my roots there. But I would be happy, based on what I know of it, based on what I know of the championship, I would be happy with Mick McCarthy as an appointment.
Yeah, exactly. He's a great championship manager. So we'll see how that goes. But you know, we also got to consider, at least from a SportStack perspective, how Chelsea players might maybe even score better, or in Timo Werner's case, just score.
Score at all, yeah.
Yeah,
so we are recording on the evening of Tuesday, the 26th of January, so it's only recently, as in the last hour or so, been officially reported that Thomas Tuchel is taking over at Chelsea, with Frank having been sacked. Was it yesterday now? I can't even remember. I think it was yesterday he was let go, and then this morning the rumours started coming out that Tuchel was taking over and has now been announced, so he is likely to be in charge for Chelsea's game this week. So that's Wednesday, so this pod will be obviously be going out Wednesday morning, so if you happen to catch it by then, he will probably be in charge of that game, we think.
I think so. I haven't seen anything, and to be fair, I've only checked the Sky Sports report that says otherwise or gives a definitive answer if he will or won't be available for the to manage the Wolves game, so we'll see how that goes, but yeah, I would expect him to be in charge, personally.
Yeah, right, so we'll come on to Chelsea in a little bit. We've actually messed up a little bit with scheduling for the pod this week. Really, the best time to record would have been Monday evening, but we missed that boat because Jay texted me about 9 o'clock on Monday night saying we probably should have recorded this evening, and I was like, yes, you're right, we should have done, but
to be fair, I was in work till 7 yesterday, so
yeah, there we go, legitimate reason why we messed it up. Instead we're recording on Tuesday, so what you do get is live reaction from the Palace West Ham game, which Jay and I we're what, half an hour, no, 40 minutes in, so we've got 5 minutes to go in the first half, and both Jay and I are unhappy for various reasons with this game.
Well, yeah, I'm not even watching that game. I thought like we'll give listeners a little bit of a variance. So I'm watching the Newcastle Leeds game, but yeah, I'm so pissed off because everything has gone horribly wrong for me. Like 2 game weeks now, I've gone long on Socek, And I haven't gone long this week, and he's scored a brace. I've then left Rodrigo on the bench with FPL, and he's got the assist for Rafinha. It's it's just not going very well. It's not a good start to the week.
Not your day, no. And I mean, this was a thing. Obviously, Zaha scored about two and a half minutes into this game, and I was thinking, oh, this will be fun. Like, I'm going to enjoy doing this recording. And quite quickly, it's just turned on its head. I mean, it's a shame we weren't recording when all the goals were going in, but let's see what happens in the second half now, because obviously we need a goal. Antonio has now hit the post twice, having set one goal up and sort of being awarded an assist for the other goal, bizarrely, and that's now been taken off. So yeah, West Ham are looking dangerous, and we're a little bit all over the place. I don't know if we can claim the conditions are having anything to do with it, because to be fair, the pitch looks pretty awful, and it seems to have caught Kiate out at least, and he gifted Antonio a chance. But Antonio hit with post with that one. It's not been a particularly free-flowing game, but oh well. A couple of bits before we get started. We're just going to preview the games that are coming up for Wednesday and Thursday this week. So we've got six games to look at very quickly. From the weekend's game, Jay.
Yep.
Villa at home to Newcastle. There were some issues with market makers, it seemed, with liquidity dropping out.
Liquidity pretty much dropped out for the whole game. I think there might have been a 5-minute period from the 40th minute till halftime, where they seemed to have fixed it, and then it went off again as soon as the halftime whistle blew. But yeah, it's, you know, obviously we don't know what the exact problem is. We can only speculate, really, and obviously, given that when this has happened before, it's normally been a case of the market makers API or the plugin to Sportsdax platform isn't working properly. Obviously, what we don't know is whether that's something on the market makers end or Sportsdax end. But somewhere in that plugin, something wasn't working, and it's quite frustrating, because obviously it's, you know, platform's been out for what, the best part of 14 months, and I suppose we've probably all been trading it now for what, 11 months if you take out the 3-month break that we had. So I suppose for these issues to, you know, still be cropping up, some will say that, you know, it's still a company in its infancy and whatnot, which I get, and obviously some will be more understanding and a little bit more frustrated. Probably that's where I sit, and then obviously you'll get people who just go off on one entirely and, you know, call it a joke or things like that.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I can completely see every angle. I see all the frustrations, because, you know, I know it doesn't necessarily affect you too much, Dave, because the volume that you're trading, but obviously with the volume that I'm trading now, which is actually crept up to 400 a time, it's when you've got that much on the line, and you have absolutely no control over your position, because, you know, yes, I could have easily made an offer to the market, but
oh no, sorry, Will's in trouble and getting himself booked here. Don't need this. He's giving shit to Craig Dawson, which I'm all for, but he has basically just kicked him, and then he's kicked the ball at him when he's like ready to take the ensuing free kick. So
send him off,
we're a League One team without him in the side.
It's fine, send him off. Everyone on the pod needs to listen to you cry.
I won't cry. I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed. That is a foul throw. That's the second one this game, come on. I'm not even putting this on. That's ridiculous. Sorry, yeah, so market makers.
I don't know, I've totally lost my train of thought now.
I'm in a position of I'm willing to have some patience with it. And yeah, as you say, my volume isn't particularly substantial, but I know for you, and there are some others who are trading quite significant money on there, you don't want to go into a game thinking you're going to have liquidity to kind of trade fully and then be stuck in that trade.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, if we had, I don't know, 1,500 active users, you know, trading every single game, the market maker issue may not be such of an issue then. Like, if their liquidity drops out, you know, you could still potentially rely on 1,500 users to populate the market.
Yeah.
Which would be fine. The problem is we don't have 1,500 active users because, you know, going on what you could see, there, you know, there was a couple of offers here and there, like absolutely ridiculous prices, and they were never ever getting matched. But yeah, obviously it's quite obvious when you look at it without the market makers how many, you know, that there isn't that many users. There's not 1,500. So yeah, when they're not there, it's incredibly frustrating, and you've kind of just got to then go with, you know, well, there's nothing you can do. You've just got to sit it out and accept whatever the final result is.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the position we're in. So it's annoying when things like that crop up, but there's nothing that we can do really at the moment. Just have to trust, I guess, that it's an issue that obviously SportStack are aware of. It has been happening. So I'm sure every time it happens, they're probably getting more and more frustrated as well.
We've spoken to Nick a number of times. I would be very, very shocked if he wasn't just pulling his hair out every single time something like that happens.
Yeah, it'll be, hopefully it'll be fixed, but we can't really say much more about it. We recognise that that's definitely an issue at this stage, that is happening again and again. On the flip side, and now I think of it, perhaps in response to that, they've given us some free SportStack credit, SuperStack credit to use over the weekend, which is fun.
Yes.
Basically use it by Sunday, because I think that's when it expires.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's when it expires, if I remember the notification that we all had through.
Yeah, and will you be using yours?
I've already used it.
On?
I have used it on Bruno Fernandes against Sheffield United at 3-1.
That's quite a generous price, really, isn't it?
I thought that. I was expecting to look at it and him be like 2-1. But no, 3-1, I was like, oh, I'm having this. So yeah, that's where my credit has gone. So yeah, fingers crossed. I mean, he probably won't even start now, knowing my luck. So we'll see how that goes. But have you taken anything? Or, I mean, SuperStack isn't necessarily your thing, is it?
No, I am... I'm not even that bad at it. I feel like I've made money on there in the past, but I just don't really care about it at all. But it is, yeah, I mean, it's free money. The Bruno one's the most tempting, because when I have taken things on there in the past, it's been basically I will spread my money out across a few quite obvious obvious selections.
Yeah.
So, I mean... Unless KDB is a substantially... No, KDB is the same price against West Brom. So that's the kind of thing I would tend to go for. So I might look at the United game and spread it across Bruno, Rashford, Pogba, maybe the way he's playing at the moment. Or I might look at the City game and go for, I don't know, KDB, Sterling, Rodri...
I would go KDB or Rodri. I wouldn't go Sterling because, like, well,
yeah.
I say that and he'll probably score a hat trick now.
Well, that shows how long it's been actually since I did SuperStack, because I think the last time I did it was at a point, it might even have been the end of last season. And we had some superstat credit, or I had some superstat credit, and I split it across KDB, Sterling, and maybe like David Silva, because I think we decided for that last game David Silva was going to be getting 90 minutes.
Yeah, and he didn't, did he?
And I don't think he did.
I don't think he did.
But yeah, it was, that's how long it is probably since I've been on Superstack, and how long it is since I've actually used any credit, because I've let a lot of my free credit expire, which I don't know if that's the most intelligent thing, but I've also, there have been weeks where I've looked at it and thought, I don't see myself winning anything here, so then I'm throwing a five or whatever is down the drain just to try and use the credit. So I kind of skipped over it.
No, that's fair enough.
Let's get started on the Game Week 20 preview. We've got six games that we're going to talk about a little bit. Starting Wednesday evening, 6 o'clock kickoff, there are two games kicking off at that time. The first will be Burnley Villa. This one, I think here the result is maybe hard to call, given the way the two teams have been playing, but the flow of the game is probably quite straightforward to work out.
Yeah, I think if you've listened to any of the pods recently, you'll know exactly at least how I feel this game is going to go. And that is, you know, Burnley sitting back, shock horror, soaking up a lot of pressure, shock horror, looking to, you know, keep it as tight as possible and then maybe get something in the last half an hour, 20 minutes, if they can keep it to 0-0. Obviously, you know, they'll try and hit Villa on the counter as much as possible. I don't necessarily see Burnley like trying to dominate possession, dominate chances, dominate the ball, anything like that. I see Villa is doing all of that. And on the basis of somebody like El Ghazi starting, I am taking a pick in this game and going long Nick Pope at 49p, because if El Ghazi starts, that is potentially a steal.
Is he only 49p?
He's more now.
I suspect he would be now, yeah.
Yeah, I got him at an average 51. Of 49. Yeah, he's gone up.
Okay. yeah, he's now 51p. But I'm still not sure that's a bad price. I think that's probably a fair assessment of the game. I mean, that kind of recipe that you laid out there is exactly how Burnley cooked up a 1-0 win at Anfield, which obviously no one's managed to win there, I think, since Palace did in like 2017, which is a bit mental.
Cheeky plug there.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not like anything else we're going to say about Palace on this pod is going to be good, I think, the way this game's going. I kind of think they'll probably replicate that performance against Villa. But how the game goes, I don't actually know. In terms of result, the obvious candidates, if you're going for that sort of game, are going to be Pope, Ben Mee, and probably Tarkowski. And they all paid out particularly well in the previous game against Liverpool at Anfield. So that might be... I suspect that'll be where a lot of people's money is going to go. I quite like the idea of going short Ollie Watkins, just because I don't think he's going to create that much against his against Burnley back four. But he's a 40p sell, which is probably a little lower than I would have liked to see.
Yeah, it's a little bit low.
I'm going to think on that one a little bit more. I'm actually taking, as you mentioned, Anwar El Ghazi, 41p, because he does love taking pop shots. And the thing that probably will happen with Burnley, he may not get a lot of space in the midfield, but he certainly won't be playing that high up. He'll probably be wanting, when Burnley are sort of camped on the edge of their box, he'll be wanting to drop out and try and pick up the ball with a little bit of space. And when he gets that space, he's probably going to shoot. So he is one that I'm quite keen on. I think like 41p, I don't think the downside is particularly large. I'm just actually digging up his stats for shots per game. 1.9 shots per game this season, but he's only started 5 of his 11 games. He's averaging 47 minutes a game, so that works out to pretty much 4 shots a game he's taking. So if he can get a couple of those on target, that puts me in a pretty decent position to not even necessarily win big, but just to break even. So I don't mind that too much. Chelsea versus Wolves is the other 6 o'clock kickoff. Now, as we've already mentioned, Thomas Tuchel will probably be taking charge of this game. Both sides are in absolutely stinking form. I think they've got one win between them from each of their last 5 games, and that was Chelsea at Fulham, who played most of the game with 10 men. So neither side looks particularly good. So I was just kind of looking at some of the stats from their recent matches. Wolves haven't kept a clean sheet in 9 games. And I think from their last 9 or 10 games, Chelsea have scored first in all but a couple of them. So the obvious thing here is perhaps a Chelsea forward, particularly if they've got that new manager bounce.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you, Jay, which Chelsea forward would you take if you were going to? The problem I have with this is I think they're all quite reasonably priced. So I don't know where I'd look, but it's obviously it's a little bit of a lottery as to who might start.
Me have a quick look.
Werner is a 48p buy, but yeah. I certainly won't be jumping on that train just yet. Abraham at 44p might not be bad, having scored a hat trick at the weekend.
I think I'm too much in love with Timo Werner. I would want to long him. Like if a gun was pointed, I'm not going to. But if a gun was pointed to my head and it was, you have to pick a Chelsea forward to go long on, who would it be? It would be Timo.
We were only going short last week, mate.
Yeah. But now he's playing under a German manager who knows how German footballers who have been brought up in Germany their entire life will want to play.
Yeah, I mean, he should be able to,
if there's going to be anyone, yeah, if there is any available manager out there who's going to be able to get the most out of Timo Werner and Kai Havertz, it's probably him. Now, Werner's position or spot in the side, along with Kai Havertz, is probably going to be up for grabs as well. In terms of, you know, Tuchel's not necessarily going to come in and just go, yeah, that's fine, you two are starting every week. They're going to want to fight for it. They're going to want to show their worth. I mean, you know, these two transfers were two of the biggest transfers of the summer. Or, yeah, you know, whatever you want to call the window, because it was all over the shop. But I wouldn't put it past one of those two to have a very good game. Especially given the fact that Wolves are a little bit leaky at the moment.
Yeah, they are. They are. It's fair enough. I mean, when you look at that kind of, that this feels like quite a big inflection point, Lampard leaving, or it potentially is. So, you know, you can look back on it in a couple of months and be like, well, obviously, Werner was going to get better when he got a change of manager. I don't feel like it's that clear cut now, but I could see the argument there. So I don't think I'll be trading that. I don't think I'll be taking that on. But I do fancy Chelsea here, and I don't know if that's a little bit over-eager to just assume that they will pull something out of the bag.
How often does a team under a new manager not put in a fantastic first game performance?
I don't know. My issue with this is that I think because this new manager bounce thing exists, people try and paint the first performance under a new manager as the best thing it could possibly be. So
yeah,
I mean, Palace have had so many new managers in the last few years, and you know, I think Hodgson's first game was maybe like a 1-0, 2-0 defeat at home to Southampton several years back. So this was before they were the Southampton that they are now. Don't quote me on that. Yeah, on that being his first game. It's one of his first ones, but obviously everyone looks for all the positives.
Yeah, Palace and Cardiff games aside, then.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
yeah, it's I don't think it's always it always happens. I think people tend to try and look for the good in a first performance under a new manager because obviously it's too early to write them off. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it's fair to expect that Chelsea probably could come out the better side here, but that might be kind of a catalyst for Wolves to perform better. But that doesn't change the fact that they are without Raul Jimenez, and basically since he's gone off injured, it sounds like he's like on a jolly, kind of gone off. And yeah, since he's been out, it's obviously been quite difficult for them to really make things click. But saying that, I will be long Ruben Neves at 45p. Obviously, the last game, I had picked him last time, and I think he got subbed off about 20 minutes to go on 41p. And that was with Wolves having conceded 3 goals. So he would have been up near the 50p mark without those goals flying in. And that actually would have ended up probably being quite a nice trade. But he was rested at the weekend. He played about 20 minutes against Chorley, I think it was, in the FA Cup. So you'd suspect now he will play 90. And he will probably have quite an important role against a sort of, you know, rejuvenated Chelsea side.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We'll see what happens. I don't think I'm going to be trading that game at all, to be honest.
No, fair enough. I mean, if you wanted to just take one game or the other, mind you, Burnley versus Villa probably won't be the best game to watch. So.
No, it won't be. But I think it's more predictable from a sports stat point of view.
Yeah. Fair, that's fair. Brighton versus Fulham, I think, is something like a 7:30 kickoff.
Yeah, it's a really weird one.
Slightly funny time, possibly. Mm. So Brighton finally picked up a win. I think they haven't won since November against Leeds a couple of weeks ago. We talked last time about their quite sizable sort of list of missing players, whether it was through suspension or what have you, or injury. Basuma was back last time. Lallana and Conley, I think, might be back this week. So Brighton side is starting to look a little more like the team that they started the season with. Fulham have had a weird run of results. They had five draws in the bounce and then a couple of tough defeats against Chelsea and then against United. So how do you see this game playing out, Jay?
I think this could be quite a good open game where both teams are probably going to try and push to get those 3 points because they will both view each other as as that game where 3 points are possible and they can beat the other team.
Yeah.
So I, you know, even though I'm not going to be watching this game because it's, you know, it's on at a funny time and it's going to, you know, probably impact other trades that I have going on. I actually think it could be a very good game to watch.
Yeah, I think you're right. I kind of picked it the same way. I think Fulham need something to kind of energise them a little bit because they've had a run of tough games because in that run of draws, they played Spurs, they played Liverpool, so they've had quite a tough time. So now they've got Brighton midweek, and then at the weekend they're playing West Brom, so they've got two winnable games there. So I think they'll be looking to kind of pick themselves up, and obviously I think they know that Brighton aren't in a particularly good place. Even with that win against Leeds, they're just not quite working. Well, go on, Edge. Go on, Wolfie. No, fuck's sake. Prick. Where were we? Sorry. I think Fulham will want to take the game to Brighton. So in this game, I'm taking Ademola Lookman at 40p. I think that's a reasonable price for a guy who is obviously a very hard worker, and he's generally quite heavily involved, even playing in those wide positions where players can get a little bit isolated.
To be honest, like I said, it's not one that I'm necessarily looking at, just yeah, just purely because it's going to get in the way of other trades I have going on, so
oh,
I haven't
no.
done a huge amount on that.
Kiyate and Cahill have just headbutted each other and they're both like out cold. Oh my good god.
Oh jeez.
Sorry, right, let's carry on with this. I might have to turn the Palace game off. I know we promised live reactions, but this isn't going well.
Oh, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Right, do we have anything else to say on the Brighton Fulham game? Because I don't think I've got anything else to add.
No.
Okay, fine. Everton versus Leicester. This game should actually be a cracker.
This game should be. But again, I'm not actually watching this game. And it was a toss-up. Like, do I watch Everton-Leicester because that's probably going to be the better game? Or do I watch Man United versus Sheffield United because there's better trading opportunities, in my opinion?
Right, this is an interesting point, actually. We'll get to Man United-Sheffield in a second. Because that's the game where I really struggled to pick anything based on the prices. On Everton-Leicester, there are a couple of little things that I picked up on. Everton haven't played in the Premier League now for a couple of weeks. In a way, I'd kind of forgotten what they've been up to. Obviously, they started the season particularly well, and then it felt like they dropped off a little bit. Checking back to the form table and stuff, they've won four of their last five. And the only game, weirdly, that they lost, I think, was at home to Leeds. But that feels like a while ago. They've now got two games in hand on Leicester. So Everton are sixth, Leicester, I think, are third. And they've got two games in hand, and they're two wins behind, essentially. They've got the same number of draws and losses, same number of goals conceded, in fact. They are just 6 points behind with two games in hand. Everton, I think, had quite an injury list as well at one point. Alan's still out. I think Lucas Digne and Alex Iwobi will both be available for this game. So that looks more like the sort of full-strength Everton that we saw at the start of the season. They played pretty much full-strength lineup in the FA Cup at the weekend. I think that was against Sheffield Wednesday. I mean, Ancelotti kind of made sure they got a pretty full run out there because he used all five subs, but he left it until they were already 3-0 up and probably in the last 20 minutes before he actually brought anyone off. So Everton, you know, they've got to deal with the fact that they haven't played in a while, whilst Leicester have definitely got momentum behind them. They've beaten Chelsea and Southampton since Everton even last played in the Premier League. So that has me leaning towards Leicester a little bit, but I think they're two quite well balanced teams.
Yeah, it will. They are quite balanced, and they're both. I mean, yeah, like you say, Leicester aren't in top form, whereas you know Everton are putting together a couple of results now. So it's, you know, it's interesting. Again, I think this will probably play very similar to Brighton Fulham, where both teams end up going for it, because they'll both see each other exactly the same way that, you know, the other team is beatable.
Yeah, I mean, those are the games obviously where you really differentiate yourself at the top of the league. You know, you've got to, they should be beating teams below them.
Yeah.
But I think these are two sides that in kind of the context of people looking at them are quite well matched, as well as the quality of the team. Because you know they're two teams that essentially have been better to start this season than kind of anyone expected, and obviously the top end of the table is really jumbled.
It's really tight as well, to be fair.
It is, yeah, it is. And I mean, as mentioned there, with Everton having games in hand, there is your game here and there for people to catch up with. So that top end of the table is hard to really work out what's going on up there, because you've got to add on X number of points for each team that has a game or two in hand, so it's kind of hard to work out. I think it should be a very good game. It could end up being one of those that is, you know, actually not as good as it's hyped up to be. I was looking at Mason Holgate here because I've traded him with good success a couple of times, but one of the issues, I think, is where he might fit into that Everton defence. Because as far as I can work out, Seamus Coleman's fit, and then they've also got Yerry Mina and Michael Keane fit at centre-half as well. And Holgate has popped up as a centre-back and as a right-back for Everton. So unless they play three at the back, I'm not quite sure if he will start or where he'll play.
Well, yeah, you want him playing at centre-back, really, don't you?
Yes, he played the right back against Wolves last game and paid out like 25p. But then last time he played at centre half, he paid out 65 or something like that. So
although playing against Leicester, is he more likely to be a little bit more active out wide than he is through the middle? Because Leicester aren't the kind of team to just put crosses in left, right, and centre, are they? So is he more likely to get a couple of tackles here and there out wide against Harvey Barnes?
Yeah, probably up against Barnes and Castagna, maybe. I'm not sure. I think the thing is, if he's playing at centre half, I have a better idea of what I'm betting on. Whereas if he plays at fullback, I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, it could be.
So,
either. Yeah,
no, I think I might wait for lineups to come out and see. The one that I am taking in this game, and this is a little bit of a punt, is Richarlison long at 42p, because to me 42p sounds like quite a good price for him. But he's had a bit of a topsy turvy season, because he started really, really well. I can remember doing the pods in the first couple of weeks. His base scores were absolutely mental,
incredible.
And he's had a decent run of games where he hit sort of 50s. And then he's also had a few games off the bench and a red card and stuff thrown in there. And his average for the season is 46p. So I think if Everton want to get anything from this game, he's probably going to be involved. So, and as well, he's a penalty taker. So 42p, I think, is a decent price.
Yeah. No, I'd agree with that if I was looking at trading that game. But I think, you know, pricing, you're probably spot on there.
Nice. Man United, Sheffield United. Jay, as you just mentioned, you see better trading opportunities in this game. So I'm interested to know what it is you're looking at here, because I kind of looked at some of the prices, and obviously Man United are priced heavily as favourites, but I just couldn't work out. I couldn't work out anything I liked.
So, because the prices are the way they are, it opens up a wealth of trading opportunities, not to take right now, but to take within 10 to 15 minutes, depends on how the game's going. Like, if, you know, hypothetically, if Man United are struggling in the first 5-10 minutes and, you know, they can't, you know, they're just not showing enough or anything, then Bruno Fernandes is 59p to short currently. I mean, that is a huge price.
Yeah.
And obviously that will be an emotional hedge for me against my super stack and the fact I've captained him on FPL.
Oh, you captained him as
well. I've captained him
on
FPL. So it would be an emotional hedge, but it could also go the other way. Like, I don't know, maybe Pogba carries on his run of form. He's 54p to buy at the moment, but maybe those first 5-10 minutes, he doesn't have a huge amount to do, but you can see that, you know, when he is on the ball, that he's trying to do something, and then you can expect positive attributes to filter on through that for the rest of the game. So maybe then you go long on him after that. Or we get to a Man United versus Burnley situation where first half, Man United have been frustrated left, right and centre. So you then go long on Aaron Ramsdale like you would on Nick Pope, because you know what's going to happen in the second half, where Man United just take long pop shots because they're frustrated and they've got to get something away.
Yeah, I mean, with Sheffield United, I've always kind of thought they should be approaching games in the same way that maybe a Burnley would, but they seem to be far easier to break down as a back five. I don't quite know why that is.
I think one of the biggest problems there is the fact that it's not Dean Henderson in goal anymore.
Yeah. I mean, Henderson might be wishing he was getting more football at this point. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, on those prices, Pogba is one that stands out to me because it wasn't that long ago, you know, it was a couple of months ago, that we were shorting him at mid to low 40s. He started to sort of hit that kind of 2018 form when Ollie first turned up and he was, he was scoring, assisting every game, more or less, for a run of probably 5-10 games. And, I mean, in the last four games, I think he's hit like an 80p, a 65, a couple of 50s. So he started to look a lot better, and he's mostly playing, kind of coming in off one side. Oh, what a save! Yeah,
he has, to be fair.
Oh my God, Vicente Guaita is the best goalkeeper in the world.
No, he's not.
Oh, that save was mental, though. He's got a decent catalogue of ridiculous saves this season.
Yeah.
To look at and admire, and that is another one.
Oh, Ferran Torres doesn't start. That's a shame.
He doesn't start.
No, that's a shame.
Old favourite of yours.
Yeah. So instead, I'm now long Rodrigo and long Ilkay Gundogan because Gundogan is on fire.
Oh really?
He is on fire.
He has been playing well, hasn't he?
Yeah. So it's Rodri, to be fair. And obviously with no KDB because he's out injured for a couple of weeks, Newcastle have just scored.
Is that 1-0?
Yeah, Almiron. Who got the assist? Please be Callum Wilson, because I got him in FPL.
Fingers in so many pies, Jay. I've not looked at my FPL team since about game week 13, I don't think.
Oh, Shelby. Oh, Wilson. Yeah! I'm pretty sure that's Callum Wilson anyway. Yeah, I think it is. Yes. We needed that.
Well, I'm pleased for you.
We needed that assist.
Back to business.
Yes, back to business.
One person I wanted to pick up on was Marcus Rashford. He is 53p to buy, which is quite large. But I actually think he is a bit of a flat track bully.
He is. He definitely is.
His big payouts this season have been against Newcastle and Sheffield.
Oh, he got 83p against Sheffield last time. Whoa.
Yeah, I think he had a couple of goals.
He did. He had two.
He had at least one. Yeah. Okay, he got brace.
He should have had a lot more, actually.
What, do you have like 15 shots on target?
No, I'm sure he was put through twice, but it was like he was offside.
Quite possibly. Yes, it wasn't that long ago, the reverse of this game week was played. So we had Sheffield United versus Man United, Bramall Lane. And I do remember we've got Liverpool Spurs coming up, or Spurs Liverpool rather, and the game at Anfield was it doesn't feel that long ago.
No, they don't at the moment. It's a lot of reverse fixtures, which is great because it means that we can actually remember what happened a couple of weeks ago, sort of thing. Because I think that was only about 5 weeks ago. The Sheffield United game. So yeah, it's it'll be interesting. I do think, sort of thinking about it now, that Rashford could have something to do as well. But that's going to be one where you watch it for about 5-10 minutes and sort of make your mind up exactly how that's going to go.
Yeah. See, Rashford I was tempted by. On the flip side, I almost got drawn into a Martial short at 46p, which feels quite high given the way he's been playing this season. But the thing, as you mentioned, because it wasn't that long ago, the thing that did stop me is the fact that I remembered him having scored against Sheffield United. I think it was one of his like two goals this season, probably one of his two shots on target this season was against Sheffield United. So I didn't jump into that, but I might take it because 46p is quite high for the way he's been playing this year.
Yeah, I would consider it at 46p to short him. I'd give that a look into.
Yeah, it's tempting. It's very tempting. Yeah. Final game is the Thursday night game. As just mentioned, it is Spurs versus Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, did the markets only just open for this, Jason, before we start recording?
I'm not sure what time they opened. But yeah, they were open when we... They might have been opened at lunchtime today.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, so I mean, that had basically passed me by. But you mentioned some of the prices whilst we were sort of before we start recording, and
yeah,
there are a few in there. I think that actually Spurs are a little bit hard done by this pricing, given the way, you know, Liverpool have been playing lately.
Yeah, Kane was 45p, which to me just feels so cheap. Like, considering, you know, that 9 times out of 10 Kane is involved in Spurs scoring one way or another. And I think you could probably argue that Spurs are going to invite the pressure and look to hit Liverpool on the counter-attack, which is what every team has done recently against Liverpool, and it works.
Yeah.
It genuinely works. And I think if there's one or two teams in the Premier League who would be able to effectively counter-attack Liverpool, Spurs are one of those. With the quality they've got, Spurs are probably the team to do this properly, the same way they did against Man United at Old Trafford.
Yeah, that's the thing. They've pulled that off a couple of times this season. They played, against Arsenal. Against Arsenal, they did it pretty much perfectly as well, didn't they? I think they had pretty much two shots, and they were both very, very clinical counter-attacks. I'm seeing notifications saying West Ham have just scored a third, so that's joyous.
Well, Leeds are 2-1 up, but...
It's Craig Dawson of all fucking people. Fuck's sake. Right, let's get back to the podcast and then let's wrap this up, because I don't want to be on air while this is going on. So Spurs, we know that Spurs are going to counter-attack very well. We know that Liverpool, they're vulnerable to it. So the one that I actually jumped on was Lloris at 50p, because I think he paid out something stupid against Liverpool last time they played.
Mm-hmm.
His season average is like 48. Whereas it last time they played Liverpool, 77 he paid out. So I would be quite happy for the game to go a similar way again, essentially.
Without the last minute winner for Liverpool, right?
It's ideal if they don't score the last minute winner.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, on the whole, I do think Spurs look a little bit cheap there. The other one actually that we talked about before recording was Serge Aurier, who's only 40p, I think.
Yeah, he's got a track record, doesn't he, of paying out very well against the big teams.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a number of decent performances against big teams already this season. So that's one that I was interested in, but I think the Spurs team across the board look quite interesting there. If I were to bet on that game, I might also actually have a look at the odds on Betfair, maybe laying Liverpool, as I did in the previous one as well.
Yeah.
Because they're just not really themselves at the moment. And you can tell, I don't know if you watched the Burnley-Liverpool game, but the way Klopp went after Sean Dyche in the tunnel at half
time,
it was hilarious. It was hilarious, but you can tell Klopp is rattled.
Yes, he's so rattled. I mean, yeah, Liverpool are 2.28 to lay on Betfair.
2.28 to lay? Okay, that's actually... Yeah, that's sort of that seemed a fair price.
Yeah.
I thought they might still be like slight odds on not the way they've been going.
No, not at all, unfortunately. So yeah, my pick for that game is Long Kane at 45p. I have. Well, yeah, I'm going to break protocol and declare that I also have a pick in the West Brom Man City game, that by the time everyone listens to this, will have already been settled. Because, yeah, I'm really struggling for picks pre-kickoff in other games. I don't really want to go with two picks in one game or anything. But it will also come as absolutely no surprise to anyone if you have been watching or following us on Twitter, because I am going long on the official new king of Sports Stack, which is Rodri at 51p.
The new king of Sports Stack. That is such a bold claim.
He is the king of Sports Stack.
He's just passing his way to like 60p payouts every week.
And what? Like, that makes me money.
Yeah, I probably need to have a look at it, really, don't I?
He can pass his way to 60p if he wants, and then, you know, add a goal or a absolutely amazing assist coming back from an offside position. Like, why not?
Oh, let's not get into that one. Where are we? Let's have a look at his chart. Is his chart appealing? Oh, those are very high scores, aren't they?
They're always quite high.
Yeah. To be fair, he's on a hell of a run. Yeah. He's not paid out below 45p since the 28th of November.
Which I think he was subbed off fairly early in that game.
Against Burnley.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Oh, you know what? I'm gonna have a dabble because I don't actually have anything else on my portfolio for tonight. So let's get stuck in with that. Cool. Anything else to add on that final game, Jay, or anything else before we wrap up?
No, I think if we just for confirmations run through our picks for this week,
and then
I can cry about it next week because I will probably lose. So yeah.
Let's hope so. I've not had a good time on this pod, have I?
No, not really.
Right, okay, so my picks, I actually mentioned quite a few trades that I have taken, but my picks, based on the fact that I think El Ghazi may or may not start, I will take Neves at 45p, Lookman at 40p, and Richarlison at 42p.
Okay, and I am...
All long.
Going, yeah, all of mine are long this week as well, which makes a change, because I'm normally short at least one player.
Yeah.
I'm going long Pope at 49, long Rodri at 51, and long Kane at 45.
Okay, nice. I've got a few other trades going on around those, but we don't need to talk. I've actually got loads of trades. This is unlike me. I've got like 8 or 9 maybe in my portfolio now.
Wow.
For the next couple of nights, so that'll keep me interested anyway.
Yeah.
Let's see how that goes. Right, well, thank you everyone for tuning in. Good luck with trading this week. We've got a fairly full slate of games. We've actually got more coming this weekend. We won't be able to cover those. So good luck with these games, with games at the weekend. And we will catch you all next time. Take care.
Yeah.